This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you could join us. We got a lot to talk. I was watching. Did you watch any baseball yesterday?
Yeah, I watched some, but I'm finding that I'm not very locked in without the Astros in it. Although more so today because we got three. Doesn't happen often. You have three. Well, they're not game sevens. They're game threes. But three deciding games on the same day. That's rare to have three of them on the same day, but that's what we have.
Yeah, since the three-game inception, this is extremely rare.
I think it's only the second time it's happened.
Yeah. So that's fun. I mean, we got three game sevens tonight. Three game threes tonight. That's pretty good. That's
game
fun.
Threes are huge.
Games, the odd games are always the biggest
you
game.
You grow up knowing that a game three is a monster game.
Monster. Game three, it doesn't get any
doesn't bigger. Get bigger than a game three.
Well, it kind of, I don't know. Of all of these teams, the Cubs have a nice team. The Cleveland and Detroit, they're going to go by the
way. The Yankees and Red Sox feel like a big game. You know, that feels like either one of those teams. And it's always a big game, but, you know, I don't love the pitching necessarily, the consistency. The Yankees' bullpen has actually stepped it back up. And Devin Williams, after really crapping a bed for a while this year, has very quietly put together a pretty strong performance now. So I love Bregman. I wouldn't mind. You know, I never mind seeing the Yankees lose and Bregman move forward. I'd never mind that.
Yeah. I tweeted out. I found myself rooting for the Yankees.
Well, you know, it's weird. I kind of did too, and I don't know why.
Because they're the underdog. Because they're not as good.
Well, but they were the favorites in the series.
I understand. And they were minus.
Wait. What did you just say? They're the underdogs. The underdog Yankees.
Yeah, because they're pathetic. No, they're serious. You are such a blur on this this stream we have.
I am.
Yeah, you're very
blurry. Oh, well, Dell will fix it in a second.
Yeah, it looks like.
Well, it's because I didn't get much sleep, you know, that's why it's actually my real face.
You know, there's some Packers that are wearing the Great Gazoo helmets. Yeah, that's what you look like right now. You've got the Great Gazoo helmet on.
Well, you know what? So here's the thing. I saw these guys messing with where are they? They're in Tennessee, and they were messing with one of the Colts. This was from 2 weeks ago. And I guess they've got their own little account, section 205 or whatever, and these guys just heckle players, and they were messing with one guy who was wearing what, you know, those are caps to prevent you know, your brain from basically falling out of your head with CTE.
Yeah, I have no issue with those.
I don't either, and I noticed that people are, you know, there's people who make fun of it or whatever. That's did you see the guy that actually that shot up the NFL office and all that stuff? You see he actually had CTE?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that or not. Yeah, they operated on his brain. They ran a test and I'm like, yeah, he actually did have CTE.
Yeah.
And he was a high school. I don't even think he played college football. But his whole thing was he was mad at the NFL for hiding CTE or whatever the case may be.
Listen,
and
NFL,
he did come back with CTE. So I don't have any problem with any player wearing a protective cap.
No, listen, the NFL now. Or, you know, they obviously are looking at it. But for years and years and years, do you know the helmet that we wore in high school?
It was the cheapest they could possibly. It was plastic. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was awful. And then college is now, you know, the NFL gets the latest and greatest equipment. There are so many guys that have CTE. You know where it started? In high school and college.
Yeah, well, it actually can. Yeah, people don't think about that, but it can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when you stack brain injuries on top of each other, where you get your bell rung and then you keep playing. You play the next week. The bell rung could be a concussion.
Get back in there.
Oh, and it's so bad for young players. I watched a study on it. And they had, like, in high school and college, it's where you can do the most damage to your brain is stacking concussions. Because your brain development is,
you know. I had a concussion after the Yankees won last night. I had a concussion because I was like, oh, I regret.
Wait. So you believe the Yankees are the underdogs, or you just think they're pathetic?
They're pathetic. They don't. Wait. The Red Sox had beaten them 10 out of 11 games in the postseason, 10 out of 11. So they suck. The Yankees suck. They haven't won anything since 2009. They're the Cowboys of baseball.
They are kind of the Cowboys of baseball.
Yes.
Although they went to a World Series. The Cowboys could never go to a Super Bowl.
Oh, that is true.
I mean, never.
Yeah, they went to a World Series.
The Cowboys are more like the Browns.
Did they really go to the
World
Series?
But aren't the Cowboys more like the Browns of the NFL?
I mean,
they're the Cleveland Browns of the NFL.
They actually kind
of
are.
Or the New York Jets of the NFL. Listen, what the Cowboys are.
They're both. I can't root for the Cowboys, and I don't root for the Cowboys, but they are pathetic. They're both pathetic. So I was like, why did I do that? I'm a bad person.
I didn't really have any, like, dog in the fight. I just thought Jazz Chisholm, that was impressive. The speed from first to score home was like
what
that was impressive.
What about the diving
speed.
Play he made?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had a good one.
Well, he was pissed because the game, you know, Aaron Boone, he didn't start Ben Rice and he didn't start Jazz Chisholm in game one. That was 57 homers and 145 RBIs he put on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron Boone is, I don't know how that dude, you know, if George was alive, he would never be there. He would. There was zero chance he would be there.
Because
he's not good. George wouldn't put up with just the
no, no, no. He would have been gone so long ago. Yeah. That's what's crazy to me is that he's lasted. Jim Crane wouldn't have kept him this long.
No.
I mean,
no.
I don't think most people would. It's kind of strange that there's this love affair with Aaron Boone. It is really weird. Because
no Yankee fans that have a love affair with him.
No, but has anyone done less with more? I don't think there is. No. I really don't think there is. Now, today, pitching in your games today, you've got it's Jack Flaherty, very good pitcher, against Slade Caccione, I guess.
Whoa. Hey. Oh, no. Hey.
Now, Flaherty, I say very good pitcher. His numbers don't look good for the season.
He's jacked.
But now he is, yeah, the last three. Now, he's been more locked in here recently, but he does have some, it does blow up on him some. I mean, there's no way around it. He's just been wildly inconsistent. But he's got some talent. He could get on one today and you could be in some trouble. Neither one of these guys, I mean, there has been a real level of inconsistency for both of them. So this could end up being, you know, who's got the best bullpen, who's got the best bats. It could turn into that very, very quickly. Here's what the favorites look like. Cleveland is a small favorite, minus 118 against the Detroit Tigers. Cleveland, of course, has played better baseball down the stretch. You got the Cubs are an even smaller favorite, minus 112 to plus 101. Cubs versus Padres, and in that one, your starting pitchers,
Yu Darvish and Jameson Taillon.
Oh, okay, so we got some guys. Good.
They got a little depth.
As a matter of fact, it's kind of crazy. I'm looking at a website. The over under in that one is 7.5 runs. You know, Detroit and Cleveland. That despite the fact that those two pitchers have had their issues, the over under is only 7, and I think that speaks to the hitters too.
It speaks for the offenses not doing anything.
Yeah, more than anything. But what's crazy is they've got over-unders on team totals, San Diego and the Cubs, and it's 2.5, but it's minus 220. Like, they're basically saying, they're basically saying, we want to put a number so low that you say, oh, this is easy, I'm going over 2.5. But, you know, with the Cubs and Padres series, this game could stay low. Score could stay low. You end up losing $220 to win 100. You know, it takes a little hit. Just kind of an interesting little plot.
On that field, too, it depends on which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. And then
before you bet any Cub under over, you got to know which way the wind.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, it's essential, and it always has been. And then you got Cam Schlittler, 24-year-old.
Say that right.
Big size, big pitcher, 6'6", 225. He's got a 2.96 ERA. He's got some ability. As a strikeout pitcher, he's got some talent. But boy, this is a big game for him, and he's going up against Connelly Early, who is a 23-year-old who's got a 2. He's 1-2, but he's got a 2.33 ERA and a 1.09. This is one of those situations where the young pitchers found themselves with an opportunity in a big game, but both of them have a lot of talent. But man, they are pitching in a massive game because, you know, the loser go home. I would say for the Yankees, this is. Do you think there's a chance Boone could lose his job if they get eliminated? I think so, too. I think finally he could be gone.
Yes.
I think finally he
Connelly
could be gone. But
Early is like the Hunter Brown of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
He just came up.
No, I know. I mean, he had, look, against the A's 4 games ago, 5 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts. 5 1/3innings pitched, 7 strikeouts. He's played bad teams. Tampa Bay, A's twice. Tampa Bay, 4 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts. He gave up 2 earned runs. And then against Detroit in his last time out, 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. But he's got – now, this kid has that, – that's what I'm saying. They're guys who are future ones or twos on their team potentially who are like Connor Brown. I mean, Hunter Brown. They're finding themselves and like, wow, this is – I mean, we love the talent. How's he going to handle this situation? Interestingly enough, the over on that one is also 7.5. So they're expecting the lower scoring playoff style scores in this one for the most part.
Yep. Well, it's going to be high drama. It doesn't, you know, especially. And listen, any of these teams, you know, maybe the Red Sox can make some noise. The Red Sox go to Toronto.
Maybe.
I could see. The Red Sox or the Yankees go to Toronto. They can win that game. They can win that series. But I don't see the Cubs. The Cubs have got to go to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what Milwaukee's doing? They're playing games against themselves right now.
And I didn't see that.
Their bullpen coach is the umpire, and they're just ripping him a new one about his strike zone. I mean, they're having... But they are playing like it is real.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You got to do something to stay a little bit, you know.
That's it. I mean, you're sitting there watching these guys, and you gotta be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what they're doing. They're throwing like it's real. So, I don't know that Cleveland and Detroit, they're not doing anything after this.
No. I mean, you know, you always have Scooble going twice, and if Flaherty gets on a heater, you have a chance. But they've just played such inconsistent—not even inconsistent. They played below-average baseball. I don't see how they can elevate it at this with the level of intensity that goes into a playoff game. We know from being Astros fans, the intensity from inning to inning is insane. I don't know that it's even matched for being a quote unquote slower paced sport. Golly, their Astros games where the intensity was just insane from in basketball, you constantly, but a 3-minute stretch isn't going to, one inning can screw you in baseball, especially if the other pitcher gets hot. You can't allow a 3-run home run or you're cooked in some of these things. So that's really what I love about playoff baseball is the level of intensity. And I got to say this, and I'll say it's not going to be popular for me to say this. But I do have a lot of respect for Yankee fans. Being there at the stadium and watching them in person, when they didn't even have a very good team in 15, I was like, holy crap, they're dialed in on this team that they don't even really they don't even think is a good team this year. Because I'd been talking to Yankee fans, getting sound for my radio show all day long, and it was like, yeah, this Yankee team is nothing. This Yankee team, we're always Yankee fans, but this team can't do anything. They're not going to go anywhere. We'll beat the Astros, but there's. And then when the game started, it's like it was on. And then you watch them in the game, like they stay in the game every freaking inning, every pitch.
Yeah.
And Red Sox fans, from what I understand, are a lot like that too. So,
well, and Cub fans, they're standing up with two strikes every single eight from the first inning on. We don't do that.
No.
We don't do that.
Well, I got a friend of mine
from the first inning on. If there's two strikes on a batter, they get up and they are. I mean, that's. I wish. That's the thing I don't love about our fan base is not we're not proactive. We're reactive.
Yeah, not consistent enough. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and you know what? We gotta be proactive. Like the at the Ryder Cup last weekend, the players. Justin Thomas was over the top. Come on, well, you guys are so quiet. Well, you guys suck. You guys suck for 2 days, and you expect the fans to be all into it when you're down 13-2. I mean, honestly, but when it was tight, when it got good, boy, they were really, really into it. And I just don't see that. Our fan base doesn't, in football, in basketball, we sit on our hands until you make us applaud. And I wish we were.
What about this, though? You're saying that. What about this? That's another Texans first down.
Yeah, there is that.
Yep.
I mean, I forgot about that.
Yep.
Another Texans first down. I forgot about
Swarm.
That.
Yeah. Swarm. Swarm. Oh, no, that's the skull.
That's one thing I wish about our fan base is that we're not like the East Coast.
Nah, they're lunatics.
They're lunatics.
Now, with that said, yeah, West Coast will fight you. East Coast fans are really, really into it. Right. I am one of those fans that I'm talking about, though. I'm not really getting up.
Oh, I'm not. I like to get up, and I like to get everybody up around me. Let's go.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Stand up. We need to help our guys. We need to help our boys out there.
Look at this. Our chat is like, I'm tuned out. You guys tuned out on this baseball talk. I don't love not having the Astros in it, but I do love the playoffs.
Hey, man, I love the playoffs.
I love the playoffs. Playoff basketball, playoff baseball, listen, playoff football.
What? You don't watch the NFL playoffs? Our team's out the second round every year. Mm-hmm. We still watch the games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our team is out.
Got no choice.
We got to watch. We also got to fix our patio furniture, and we got to do that with Houston Powder Coaters. That's what we got to do. I got to tell you, Houston Powder Coaters. Who was it that was just talking about Houston? Houston Powder Coaters is a big client of another one of our businesses. But Houston Powder Coaters, they're so good at what they do. They are like 5-star Google reviews. They're leaders in the industry. You cannot find people who have dealt with Houston Powder Coaters and have had a bad experience. You just can't. You just can't. Because what they do is they promise to do what they do, and they do it. They pick up and deliver absolutely free. They powder coat whatever it is that you have, and they make it look great. And if it's not great, if it's not perfect, then they're going to make it right. And they will redo it until they make it right. And the primping and prepping is a process that they don't skimp on. They never skimp on it. They make sure, and if you've got patio furniture that needs to be repaired, they do that as well. They're not going to get it back to you unless it's perfect. Houston Powder Coaters is, I'm telling you, they are one of the best businesses that we have. And it's all a bunch of people that really care. It's led by Robin and all the management over at Houston Powder Coaters. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. You got anything that you need powder coated, period. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Wow. I'm looking at Connelly Early. He's about 12 years old.
He's a pup. 23 years old, but he looks like he's about 19.
He looks, oh my God.
He does not have to shave on even a weekly
basis. He's got all of Red Sox Nation on his back. Holy crap.
What do you mean?
Well, they're going to be, they're always going to remember this start by Connelly Early. Yeah. Either he was great or he sucks.
Yeah, both of them look young, though.
He sucks. Okay? That's the Connelly Early has got at the weight of Boston on his on top of him. So, poor kid. Although, you know what? You love this. Give me the ball.
Just think of what Hogdale's going to say about him if he doesn't pitch well.
Well, Hogdale. Hogdale's a superstar now.
Hogdale. Yeah, I got to tell people who Hogdale is again.
He is. Dave Portnoy is making him famous, right? Because he's a Boston. He's a kid that does his. He does the play-by-play of the game in his basement. And he's not athletic. Let's put it that way.
No, that wasn't the first word that came to mind.
No, he's not.
He basically does the play-by-play of the game along with the game.
Right.
And he really gets into it, but he talks like a fan would.
He works blue. Mm-hmm. He works blue. And he is, and Portnoy loves him because he's a Red Sox fan. So the kid loves the Red Sox and hates everybody else, and he drops F-bombs in his play-by-play. So he's become a star. Thanks to Dave Portnoy. Who is here, Dell? Who's up? Who's on? Elliot? Elliot is here. Let's get on.
Super Pen, baby! The f***ing Super Pen is at it again!
Oh. Super Pen.
That's a taste of Hogdale.
Yeah, that's Hogdale.
That's a taste.
Elliot is with us. Hey, Elliot.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to hear you. I want to give a shout-out to y'all. I won the UH tickets. I'm an alumni, so I'll be out there loud and proud on Saturday, so I want to say thanks to that. But
what do you think?
What do you think
about the game?
Go ahead.
It's going to be tough.
We're going to smoke them. We ain't worried about no tortilla throwing foes. We ain't worried about them.
See, John?
We're going to smoke them. So.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, I don't say that confidently, but who knows? You know, I got to
keep hope alive. Well, at least you said it.
So.
You said it, though.
Yeah. So that's good.
Right. That's right. I'm trying to speak it into existence.
That's right.
So, but yeah, I got a two-part question, and I'm sure you guys already touched on this, but with Fred being out this upcoming season in regards to the Rockets, the value of him bringing the ball down the court, I think it's going to be a significant issue. And do we really believe Reed's going to be that guy, that facilitator, or is Amon going to take that full responsibility? I don't really know how that's going to play out. I think this is more concerning than just, oh, we lost a veteran guy. I mean, he was like the quarterback of everything when it comes to facilitation and bringing the ball down the court. I just want to know y'all's thoughts on that. My second part to that is, KD, he talked about taking that extension, which I'm sure it's going to be around that $60 million mark. You got to pay Amon coming up. What do you do? I mean, that's going to be a significant issue, I wonder. Do you think that he'll take a pay cut to bring in another veteran? You're going to have a Milwaukee situation where you got Giannis and Lillard on big maxes and a bunch of – I mean, how are you going to play this out, especially with Amon coming up and Sengun's got his contract and you got a lot of young guys you got to start paying? I just want to know y'all's thoughts on that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, Fred was a huge I think we underplayed it. Oh, that's all right. No. I mean, you ask – Ime loved Fred. Mm-hmm. Loved Fred. Because of the way, and when Fred was out last year, it was disjointed, and it was the offense just is not as good. I mean, it was just not as good. Period. And there's a reason, because Fred could get you into your offense. Now, you think that Reed is the answer?
I don't. You know, I think he's going to be a great shooter. I'm with Elliot. I don't have much confidence that he's going to be a primary ball handler, bringing it down against pressure, getting into the offense. It's not standard point guard stuff anymore. Very few teams run that kind of offense. So But I don't. Yeah, I think it's going to fall on. I think it's going to fall on the shoulders of Amon Thompson more than anything. And I don't know. I'm a little concerned. I'm less concerned with Fred the Shooter being gone. That happens. He's up and down. He's a pretty good defender. He's tough. But what he does is he's, you know, I mean, he's a primary ball handler. I don't think that your two primary ball handlers were Fred and Jalen Green last year. I don't think you should just discount the fact that both of them are gone. You know, I'm not convinced that they won't look in the direction of a trade deadline move to fortify, even if it's off the bench. I mean, some of that may also depend on how Aaron Holiday plays. We'll see. He's never been a primary. You know, I haven't seen him as a primary ball handler for the Rockets either. So, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, that was a huge loss. Huge loss. And it caught, like, the Rockets went from 8-1 to 12-1.
Probably rightfully so, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hope Reed is that guy, but he's going to have to be a lot better mm-hmm. than he has been, than he was last year. A lot better. And what was the other question? Oh, Amen's contract coming up?
You got a bunch of young players' contracts coming up, so.
Yeah, you know, they got rid of a guy that was, economically, Jalen was a good buy.
Mm-hmm.
They did Alpi, and he was a good buy. They got away with not giving max dollars to their two primary players. They might get away with not giving Amen max dollars. They might get away with not giving Kevin Durant max dollars.
We'll see.
But they've been pretty good at, you know.
No, they have.
Yeah. We'll see what they give Tari. We'll see they already gave Jabari. He wasn't max either.
Mm-hmm.
They already did that. I mean, he's been pretty damn good. He's been pretty damn good at getting good value. And players have been like, yeah, it's fine. Which is it's crazy, but it's what's happening. Amen, you know, Amen was talking about his shot. And, you know, who is, Finney Smith was telling him, dude, keep taking your shot, keep taking your shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't listen to anybody about your shot, just keep taking it. And, you know, it became kind of a joke.
Shut up, Finney Smith. If he's not shooting well, don't tell him. Just keep shooting it. Shut up.
Well, Fred
Josh
did.
Smith.
Fred did.
I know, and it was terrible.
Well, until
at least Fred got hot.
You know,
Thompson's never getting hot. He's never going to get hot from three.
Well, that is true. But you don't know.
Yeah, I know.
No,
unless
you don't
he's
know.
Magically. Every year we hear Alperen Şengün has now added the 3-point
yes.
shot, and it's pretty much over for the league.
No,
and then he comes back and
he
shoots in at 20%.
He added it this offseason.
Like, and Alpi has a shot. He has some touch. I don't know about Amen. Some people just aren't made to shoot a lot of three. Like, I like the fact that Amen knows who he is. He's very self-aware. Be quiet, Finney Smith. You're 30-something, never won nothing.
Maybe
beat it.
Finney Smith knows more than you.
No, he
about
doesn't.
Basketball.
Trust me. I know way more than Finney Smith. I was out shooting just the other day, and I was like, I'm done with this.
What's
I was
your
shooting terrible.
Name?
You know what I did?
What's
I,
your...
throwed, I threw the ball. I was like, rolled it just down the court and went up and lifted weights. That's being self-aware.
Your mom's maiden? What's your mom's maiden?
Stevens. Why, are you trying to steal my identity?
What is it?
Are you trying to steal my identity?
What is
Were
your
you on my social?
What's your mom's maiden
it's
name?
It's Stevens.
Season?
Stevens.
Oh, Stevens.
Yeah.
Okay, Lance Stevens Zerline. Okay,
I wasn't sure where
you
he was going
don't
with
know
that.
As much as Dorian Finney-Smith.
Okay, so let me just make sure we put this on the table for a vote. Dorian Finney-Smith says, "Shoot it, keep shooting from three." Amen. Lance says, "Be self-aware. If you don't make one, if you know you can't make 3-point shots, don't shoot those shots." No. What do you like better there?
Listen,
did you like? Let me ask you. Did you like
Del
Corey Brewer
shoot
better,
your shot,
or DeRozan better? Did
and
you
I
like?
Know he ain't gonna hit
DeRozan. Or Corey Brewer. Those are two guys. One guy didn't know his game, and one guy said, I'm not shooting threes because I don't make threes. One guy is a multi-year all-star. I think DeRozan's made multiple all-stars. Yeah. Yeah, I like guys who know who they are. That's like quarterbacks who say, no, I can make this throw. Interception.
No. Are you limiting the potential and growth of Ahmed Thompson?
I can blow this fastball by him. Here, let me just throw this to Aaron Judge.
Guess who would have told Michael Jordan to stop shooting? Him?
No. Michael Jordan shot threes when he knew he could make threes when he worked
on it. No. Michael shot threes, and he was bad at it early on.
No, he didn't shoot a lot of threes. Don't make me go to the stats. I've done this before on Michael Jordan. First of all, three-point shooting wasn't even a thing.
He didn't shoot a lot of threes, period.
I know. Thank you. Neither does Ahmed Thompson. Finney Smith would have said, keep bombing, Mike. Keep bombing, Mike. And Mike said, no dunking? No. Threes, baby. 3 and D. That's how you win. Math, baby. Math. Daryl Morey would have ruined Michael Jordan. Have Michael Jordan shooting 12 threes a game.
Well, then Mike would have made him. He would have scored more points, and he'd be the all-time scorer instead of LeBron, who everybody hates.
Well, at least one out of three people here don't like.
Well,
I respect LeBron. I'm not, he's not.
I don't hate him. I don't have any feelings about him one way or the other. But yeah, the story that Dorian Finney-Smith told Amin, remember this because they were once opponents, that Dorian Finney-Smith like airballed two threes in a row playing the Rockets, but he kept shooting. Then he made the next five. So that was Ahmed Thompson's example of, look, you can't let failure deter you from your goals. The man embarrassed himself airballing two threes.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I can go back and look at Finney-Smith's career three-point percentage. Like Michael Jordan, I'm looking at his three-point percentage. He was in the 100s his first 4 years. But also didn't even shoot one a game. Like, he only shot three or more a game only twice. Well, I take it back, three times in his entire career. In one of those years, he shot 42% from three. Another year, he shot 37% from three. Mike only did it when he was making. I can't believe you baited me into going Michael Jordan and Ahmed Thompson three-point numbers. And Finney Smith. No. Finney Smith, stop. None of y'all. I don't want anyone telling Ahmed Thompson to take a bunch of threes. Nobody.
Not a bunch.
What is a reasonable number for him a game?
As a starting, under four, as a starting sure. wing, three?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. When you go to Underdog Fantasy and you say higher or lower.
Lower. Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, if he's going to shoot nine a game, I guess I guess his makes will go higher. You know, if he makes 2 of 9 a game, then maybe that goes higher than 1.5. I've looked at his three-pointers before, and last year it was 0.5 on Ahmed Thompson. That means, will he make a three, yes or no? And that's what Underdog Fantasy does. There's certain statistics like touchdowns for Derrick Henry this weekend. It'll be 0.5. Now, the favorite is going to be for him to score a rushing touchdown. So the odds aren't as good in your favor that way. If you say, no, This Texans defense, who's really tightened it up against the run, they're going to slow him down. And you can say, okay, lower. And that's going to actually pay off more on your Pick'em Challenge. And Pick'em Challenge, you pick two or more players, and you look at statistics for them, all this these series of statistics, you go higher or lower. And if they win, if you win 2, 3, 4, 5, the more you win, it really it multiplies your payout. So where you're getting huge payouts just for knowing sports, for being a ball knower. If you're a ball knower, you can make money with Underdog Fantasy. Now, you can't do that unless you download the app, and you download Underdog Fantasy at the App Store. Use promo code Lance on your first deposit. Then when you make your first play of $5 or more, they're going to put $100 of bonus cash into your account for you to play with. And when I say play with, why don't you take their own money and beat them with their own money? That's happening all the time at Underdog Fantasy. Go to Underdog Fantasy. Check them out for yourself. It's Underdog Fantasy. Download it. Use promo code Lance on your first deposit.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, guys, this is your big chance. Every Thursday we do this. Second caller, 713-780-3776. You got a chance to win a $50 gift certificate or gift card from Taquerias Arandas. Locations all over Houston. All you have to do is pick against the spread or the over-under for tonight's Thursday night football game. That's all you got to do. Or, like the guy did last week, he said, no, Lance, I want to put it on you. You pick it, and I'm going to fade you. If you lose, I win. And I lost. I had Arizona plus the points. They got beat by three. They were getting 1.5. So my man got Taco Diaz around this. So callers are already coming in. It's too late. So what we're going to do here is take a look at the Thursday night game. I'm going to give you the point spread, and I'm going to give you the over-under, and you are going to make a decision. And if you get it right, you win Taquerias Rondas. If you're not sure or you think I'm on a cold streak, you can make me pick it. And if I lose, you win. And if you win, you get a $50 gift card to Taquerias Rondas. But if you lose, you get nothing. Nothing.
Boop, 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 boop.
Boop, boop, beep, boop. So, Dell, who's our lucky contestant?
Austin.
All right, Austin. Here's your big chance. The Thursday night matchup is the San Francisco 49ers. They are taking on the Los Angeles Rams. The Niners have some.
What are you playing?
This is our Tejano.
Oh.
Underneath it.
Seems racist.
No. Saul wants this.
Seems racist to me.
How so?
Then tell it to a Mexican man, John, who likes this. All right, anyway. San Francisco is getting 8.5 points. They're at the Rams. Rams have a very good defense. The 49ers, 8.5 is a lot for a division game. Your over-under is 45 points. This one is a challenging one. It's a tricky one. They're not giving you any freebies on the point spread. So Rams minus 8.5, over-under 45. Austin, do you want to make a selection for a chance to win $50, or do you want me to make it and you hope that I lose? Which one?
I'll let you go ahead and do it.
Damn it. I don't want to go.
Fading Lance.
I know.
Again.
I don't want to go 0-2. All right. Based on the way this matchup looks, I'm going under 45 points. Under 45 points. I'm looking for something more like 17 to 24, 41 point game. So under 45, Austin, that is my pick. If I win,
sounds like a plan, buddy.
If I win, you get nothing. But if I lose like last week, you get a $50 GC and go get what you want. And that includes alcohol. I think it includes alcoholic beverages.
Well, I don't see why. You're asking me. I don't know.
I don't see why I wouldn't, but, you know, who knows?
I don't know Saul is down with that, but I guess Austin may find out.
I don't know if it does or not. I think so. Yeah, if you get a gift card, you get whatever.
Yeah.
It's at the end of your bill. That's what you do. That's what all gift cards are.
All right, Austin. Hang on. We'll get your information. You're set up. And just root against Lance I do all the time.
I'm hoping to take your information, ball it up, and throw it in the trash.
See, you're not for the people. Hold on,
I'm trying
Austin.
To defeat the people.
Yeah. Understood.
Because he's fading me to make me look bad.
All right.
He's fading me to make me look bad.
Well,
I'm on a one-game losing streak.
Well, here's the thing. We put this on him really quickly. He probably didn't have enough time to make a decision. So he just, hey, let's pick against the mush.
In doubt, I'm taking a Ram under.
The mush.
I'm taking a Ram under, even though it didn't go under last week.
If you missed out on this, stay locked in, because at some point, John's going to give you a chance to beat Justin tomorrow as well. We got to beat the Warehouse Life guy. Beat the Warehouse Live guy tomorrow, so we'll get a contestant for that as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, beat the Warehouse Live guy last week. Beat his ass.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's that. Warehouse Live guy sucks. So does your little tournament, Dell. Nice job.
Your little tournament, what does that mean?
The World Cup.
That about the World Cup?
Oh, you see ticket prices came out?
No, but I'm sure they're
$60 for group stage matches.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. To get into the final starts at $2,030.
Wait, face value?
Face. And it goes up to $6,300.
What? That can't be right.
Yeah. Nice job, Dell.
What? He's talking to the guys getting information. He's going to want to know what he was responsible for, though.
Jerk. $6,000 face value.
The New York Times. Every World Cup ticket price, if you're lucky enough to get chosen to buy. And they've got every price that is on here. Category 1. So group matches in the U.S. include U.S. men's national team games where price as follows, with the higher prices for SoFi, Imagine that.
Yeah.
Levi Stadium and MetLife in New Jersey. So they took New Jersey, L.A., and San Francisco, Bay Area, and these are the prices. Category 1 prices are $410 to $620. Category 2 or $310 to $465. Yeah, you're right. It goes $60 to $620 for the group stage. In Houston, I'm looking at very specifically Houston. Category 1,
nice okay, job,
so
Bill.
The cheapest seats are going to be $140. Then come $310, and then Category 1 is going to be $410. But that's for the group stage.
Yeah.
For the quarter, for the round of, here's what Houston's prices are. For the round of 32, $160, $335, and $440. So not a big jump, not a big jump at all. Now we're cooking here with round of 16. $220, $450, $590. Pumping up. Semifinals.
Yeah, it's dynamic pricing.
Yeah. Well, and they don't have the semifinal prices.
And the yet. Finals?
Oh, well, we don't have the semifinals.
To get in the building, it's $2,000.
Yeah.
You know what, Del?
But that's only going to be in Dallas and Atlanta.
What do I have to do with this?
So that's in
it's
Dallas
your
and Atlanta.
Sport.
No. I'm looking.
What?
No, this isn't true, John. Dallas, the semifinals in Atlanta are. To get in the building are $420.
No, the final is $2,000.
What's the cost of getting into the Super Bowl?
Well, but the final is
not $2,000.
Well,
listen, and the best seats are $6,000.
First of all, the tickets now, the face values are so high; they're over $1,000 now.
Yeah, but not two.
Well, it's the world. What only happens every 4 years? That's supposed to every year.
I'm boycotting it.
You boycott it.
You got to go to New York, New Jersey to go anyway. You aren't going there.
Well,
you won't step foot in New York.
No, I hate New York.
You're an L.A. guy. You are not going to go.
I hate L.A.
You
too.
Love L.A. You
I
love
hate
it.
LA too. No, I hate both.
We got to bring that song back.
No. Yeah, $2,000 to get in, $2,700 on the second, and then $4,200. So these are Super Bowl prices.
Dell's little tournament.
Every 4 years. You're comparing it to Super Bowl prices. Super Bowl happens every year. Every 4 years, this thing happens.
Well, this is not for us.
Yes.
This isn't for – getting these tickets aren't for us.
It's not for Americans. Americans ain't going. No, why are we going to the final?
Look, the Saudis –
we're not going to be there.
The Saudis are just going to buy the whole thing out and just put golfers and pro tennis players and comedians in there anyway.
Yeah.
And they'll just, and you can go there and get autographs while the Saudis pay, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for these stars to go sit in those – World Cup tickets that you can't go to. Don't worry about it.
You know, they got – and those
soon comedians. The Saudis are going to own all of our milk.
Yeah.
And we're like, damn, it's I got to buy milk from the Saudis at the grocery store.
All Saudis in the stands.
It's all
nice
going to be
job,
just a bunch of Saudis.
Why do you keep saying nice job, Del, over this? What does this have to do with me?
I was wondering why you were catching it so quick.
Nice job, because I watch
Way
sport.
To go, Del.
I also watch – they're fine. I also watch college football quite a bit. When things happen there, that's on me too.
Yeah, you got a little college football show. And guess what?
What?
That sucks too.
What?
The chicken prices.
Whoa. What? Wait, hold on.
Who are you – wait, what? I'm not sure where you're going
with
this.
What are you so upset about?
By the way, how are you going to feel – what if the Saudis buy one of your – all your courses there in L.A. and you have to just go – and then you have to go to the – and the starter is just a guy who's just sitting there, hey, you're not the – you're not Randy. No, I'm not Randy. I'm with the PIF.
Our girl Kate is listening. She's
oh, good. Best. Good for Kate.
Does she appreciate you berating me about things
that
have nothing
Del's
to do with me?
Little tournament.
Yeah, what is and that? So the World Cup is my little tournament?
Yeah.
Del's she likes tournament. Del.
It has nothing to do with me.
She likes Del, too.
I wish I had a part of it because those guys get broken off. I wish I was a part of the World Cup. I want a paycheck.
Next week she cooks for us and brings us something. She's the best. That's what she does. That's what,
she is the best.
Are you... Yeah, I'm there I'm there 2 weeks, guys.
Oh, wow.
2 weeks. Del, you get to see me for two straight weeks.
Is Wendy wondering if, are you going to ever, at some point, are you just going to say, listen, Wendy, I ain't coming back.
No.
Sorry, I ain't coming back.
You don't do that to Wendy. I mean.
No, geez. You're going to be tempted, though. Not because of Wendy, just because you want to stay here.
Oh, I do want to stay there. Trust me.
No, I know you do.
Trust me. All right.
I'm on Wendy's side here. You belong in L.A.
You're on Wendy's side. Wendy's right. Beat it.
All right. Let's catch up because you got us way behind, Lance.
All right.
talking about.
All right, look, what do you want me to talk
about? Connelly Early. Why would you name your kid when your last name is Early? Why would you name him
We didn't
Connelly?
Even just talk about him. What do you
that
mean?
Was a previous segment.
What do we mean?
I know,
two
but
segments
that's what
ago.
Got us behind.
You were talking about Dell's little tournament. That's what got us behind.
Hey, really Dell, we heard John talking about your little tournament. What is he talking about? Oh, the World Cup? Yeah, that's my little tournament.
Yeah, yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, yeah, my World Cup.
Yeah. Every 4 years?
Yeah.
It's but this year,
years,
it's not in.
Dell has a little tournament.
At least it's not in Qatar or some other places.
Then he decided to charge $6,000.
By the way,
yeah,
did you see?
I guess, was in on that.
Guess who does get the next one? Saudi Arabia.
Big surprise. Anyway,
I read a whole article I'll bring to the table about what they're doing. What they're doing is basically they want to own sports. They want to own international sports internationally.
All they're doing is proving that, hey, no matter what you think of us, the people who you may respect or not respect,
they're all taking
they can
money.
Be bought.
Yeah.
They'll take our money.
Dave Chappelle, I walked out on $32 million.
Years later?
Come on over to Riyadh. We're having a comedy fest. I can do that. Okay,
Dave.
There's Dave. There's Dave sticking. There he is, sticking up for
standing
his
on
morality.
Business. Yeah. But look, that
standing
was 25
business. Years
yeah,
ago,
Lance.
Yeah, he stood on business back in like the early 2000s.
Yeah, but think times. Business has changed.
What do you want to talk about right now, Dave?
Well, a break.
Okay.
About Zadig.
Ooh, Watchtoberfest starts tomorrow. Watchtoberfest starts tomorrow. They're going to have a DJ there on Saturday. They're going to have a pet adoptions there for puppies and dogs, which is going to be really great. They have Oktoberfest-inspired bites. They have craft beer. They have coffee. And they have 25 different brands of watches that they want to showcase and some new arrivals. You're basically going to see the best of the best. And you got all that. They want to turn it into a big event. And so tomorrow it starts, and they got a lot of that stuff going on tomorrow. And it's Saturday. The Indigo Car Group is going to have Lamborghinis and McLarens there. Like, this is going to be high-end stuff going on at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. And you can go be part of it. You're all invited to go. No matter who you are listening right now, they want you to go check it out. You want to go see what some of these luxury high-end watches are going to look like? You can go see them. You want to go see some of the coolest cars that you'll ever see in person? You're going to see them with the amazing cars from Indigo. And, of course, while you're there, why don't you just get your puppy on, your dog on? You can do that as well. They got food. They got coffee. They got beer. It's pretty much just a party going on. 28,000 square feet, so you got a lot of room to walk around and check out all the jewelry they have. But for more information about Watchtoberfest going on Friday and Saturday, tomorrow and Saturday, go to Zadig.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Texans and Ravens on Sunday. We'll see. I don't know. This is a trap. If you want to know the truth, this is a trap. Because they've got so many injuries. They got Cooper Rush. They got, you know... Oh, they're so hurt. They're 1-3. They're terrible. This is a trap game. There's no question in my mind. C.J. Stroud talked about Nick Cayley yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Nick Cayley was supposed to, it's not about Nick Cayley's offense. We're not doing that anymore. That's what Bobby Slowick did. That's why he's fired. That's why he sucked. But Nick now hits is about the players and using them right.
Uh-huh.
Well, the first couple of weeks that was not the case. But CJ.
However,
here's CJ yesterday talking about Nick Cayley trying to balance his what he wants to do with the things that the players like.
He's done a good job of trying to listen to other guys, but also keep his core mentality and core plays. But, you know, this game's evolving. It's not, you know, what it used to be, and it's not what it was last year. You got to just find every, like Coach Day used to always say in college, every year when we hit the offseason for, like, self-scout, he'd always say you have to become the new iPhone. You know, like, every year you got to upgrade or you'll get caught up. So, like, iPhone, they come out with a new iPhone every year. you know, so they don't get caught up from other brands. So I think that's the same thing. Like, but it takes time. It's not just overnight. I think he's doing a good job of, like, listening and to what I like, to what the team likes. And a lot of our guys are young, so a lot of the run and gun and, like, the fun stuff is, like, easy for us because we've done it before. But we're just trying to both get off, you know, our mark and, you know, push towards being uncomfortable with being being uncomfortable with one another, but also trying to get some comfort plays in as well.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
Yeah.
I think CJ answers great. I think CJ does save some stuff for behind the scenes, probably, where if he's not happy, I do think that when things don't go well, I think CJ is aware of himself, but he wants to hold others accountable too. And that's fine, but just don't be hard to coach. You know what I mean? Like, you got to all be on the same ship, rowing the same direction. Sometimes things are going to be tough, and you can't bail off the ship and start throwing under people under the bus. I don't know if CJ does that or not, but I do know that he didn't always love some of the coaches at Ohio State. He loved Ryan Day. I'm not talking about that. I don't think Slowick was his favorite guy by the end of that, and I've heard that maybe Kaylee is not his – that things aren't really clicking between them, but the second half was good last week, and – he sounded happy there when things are going good. I think when things are going good, CJ's fine, you know. But
isn't that everybody?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's not the mark of a successful organization. A successful organization is going to be where people can stay on board when it's tough, and that's not easy.
It's not like CJ's abandoned ship or pointing finger. He's been good. He's been fine.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, if he was done with Bobby Slowick after 2 years, and that's fine. And if there's a situation where it doesn't go well and he's done with Nick Kaylee after a year, you know, some of that's on D'Amico, I guess, for who he's hiring. But the other one is, you know, he's going to have to give these guys chances. And in his mind, hey, I've been doing this for 3 years now. Nick Kaylee's been doing it one. Does he really know what he's doing? Like, I wonder if that's going to pop up in his head. Kind of pops up in my head, and I'm not even quarterback.
Well, listen, if I don't know how you act behind the scenes when you're losing, because, well, we never lost here, so that's that's something. But, you know, do you rock the boat, or do you just everything's up? No, you gotta say, hey, we gotta do things right. We gotta do things the right way, and you know, Nick Kaylee was better this week. He was better, but CJ took.
You can't play the Titans every week.
No, that's the truth. He was better in the second half anyway. Well, and then CJ said, well, that was my call. You know, I called that play.
That did happen.
Yeah, I did that.
Hey, you know, look what I did.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Listen, the stats for the Ravens defensively, they suck.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible. The Ravens are terrible defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have Lamar. This is a dangerous situation for me.
I agree. I agree. I mean, Cooper Rush is. Remember, he was a quarterback when Dak was out, and I think they were 3-1. I have to look at Cooper Rush's stats. He does not have an arm. He has a very weak arm. He's not going to be able to make certain throws. He's extremely smart. I've mentioned this before, one of the smartest players I ever scouted, like legitimate football smarts and rocket scientist type smart. But he's still in the league at age 31 with no arm strength. Like, that should tell you something. This is an example. You know, talks have been had about Dylan Gabriel and Shadur and those guys. When you're looking at a guy that you expect to be a lifelong backup, you always look for guys like Cooper Rush who are very smart, who see things on the field like another coach, who can help the starting quarterback get to what he wants to get to, because, you know, you're thinking along with him. You may not always be the most capable physically, and he's an example of a guy who can play a long time and has already played a long time.
He's got a starting quarterback record of 9-5.
Mm-hmm.
So his teams do pretty well when he's playing. Mm-hmm. And these are the Cowboys, so it wasn't like – so the Cowboys have been good, but not juggernauts. But
yeah, he's 4-1 in 2022.
Yeah, and most recently in 2024, he was 4-4, so not bad.
takes care of the ball. 20 touchdowns, 10 interceptions for a backup.
Yeah.
So, no, this is not a layup. I'm actually very surprised the Texans are a favorite.
Well, I think it's because of all the other defensive issues, injuries, and
the Ravens,
and that they're bad.
The Ravens are our new Golden State Warriors. New England Patriots from back in the day.
Have the Warriors ever beat the Rockets without Steph and Clay?
Well, when did the Rockets ever beat them in the playoffs?
But my point is, you're mentioning that they're the Ravens. The Ravens have, when they have Lamar Jackson.
Don't worry, they would have.
Yeah.
Okay.
They would have.
Beat them one time last year, didn't they?
In the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they won a playoff game.
I'm talking about
a series.
Vanquishing.
Ending them.
No, I'm just talking about a game.
The bookmakers, the line makers were even like, yeah, screw this. I know Golden State had to weasel their way in. We're making them the favorite against the Rockets.
Well, they're begging you, making the Texans a favorite, they're begging you to take the Ravens. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Mm, okay.
But.
And how do you think the game's going to go?
I'm taking the Ravens.
Well, that's not a good thing then.
No. Because, they're begging you to take the
Ravens. I just have to see Houston beat the Ravens. Like, I can't imagine a world where we beat the Ravens until we beat the Ravens.
We did beat Kansas City. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Oh. We've actually played Kansas City well. We don't play the Ravens well.
John Daspit plays well.
John Daspit is a huge sports fan. Huge sports fan. Been involved in the NIL side of a lot of different college programs, including right here at home. Went to school at Texas. Well, started, he was in high school here. Then he went to... was an athlete here and really into all of, grew up on Houston sports just like we all did. Went to Texas, got a couple degrees there, got his law degree from University of Houston. Came back, was working for Fulbright, Jaworski, it's a big-time law firm. And then he decided to step out on his own and say, you know what, I want to do this on my own. I want to go out there and get it done by myself and start helping people, not just in Houston, but around the state, and especially down the coastline where there's so many injuries with refinery blasts, offshore accidents on the water, maritime stuff. And so he started fighting for people. And if you know his personality, you know he's not going to lose. I mean, he has an intensity when he gets locked in, and it serves him well, but more importantly, it serves you well. If you're looking for the type of payout that's going to cover all your medical bills, all your time missed from work, and especially if you're never going to be able to work again because of physical issues, all the pain and suffering that should be accounted for because your life has been turned upside down, John Daspit is the only call. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Easy to remember. Or go to the website. You can get more information about his areas of practice and start the process of having your case evaluated at DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.